It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the State Assembly advances a package to spend more than $500 million on repairs to the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium, we discuss these developments with Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter, who represents parts of Milwaukee, West Allis, Greenfield, the Village of West Milwaukee. It's a district that includes American Family Field. Call in with a question. You can share your perspectives along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. State Senator Carpenter, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much for having me.
So this week, the Republican proposed stadium funding plan passes the assembly, heads to the state Senate where you are. Do you plan to vote in support of this funding plan?
I could not support the bill that passed through the state assembly. My hope is to get a group of bipartisan state senators to sit down and try and make a tweak a couple things in the Brewers bill. I should say, first of all, I think I'm the only one still in the legislature that voted for the Brewers bill in 1995 that's still here. So I have that background of what the negotiations were and what promises made and what promises weren't kept. But I think key to it is people want to see more money coming from the Brewers in the form of a user fee and less public funds to be used for the stadium.
So you have that institutional knowledge going back to the mid-90s. You mentioned tweaks to this bill. What amendments would you support to it?
I think one of the first ones would be a user fee. When we build Fiserv Forum, there's a user fee that goes on every ticket for every event at the Fiserv Forum. And I think we ought to have that with the Brewers events and non-events like concerts, so that the people that use the facility are going to pay a little bit more. And I should say that I'm a huge Brewers fan. I probably went to, I don't know, maybe 50 games this past year. I live 3 miles from the ballpark, have had season tickets for a long time. I love the Brewers, but held town hall meetings, and I'm opening surveys in my office as we speak, and people want to see more money coming from the Brewers, the business community, and a user fee. They just don't think it's quite fair with the amount of money they're being asked to put up. They'd like to have some more guarantees.
Is the user fee what you mean by like a progressive ticket tax?
Yes. It could be $2, $3, and I'm always in the upper deck, the cheap seats. And so they could have, you know, a dollar fee for that if they're concerned about people that aren't wealthy that go to games, and certainly for the higher price seats, luxury boxes, tickets that cost over $200. I think they can afford an extra $2 or $3. I should point out, I bought tickets for the Brewers wild card series.
You did. And, okay.
Yep. Unfortunately, they lost both games, but when I bought them, it was interesting because I bought 3 tickets at $35 each, which came up to $105. But with the service fees that the Brewers charged, that was $21.50. So when the Brewers say, oh, we can't have a user fee because our fans can't afford it, I don't agree with them, because on a $35 ticket, that someone would have to spend $21.50 to get 3 of those tickets. So I think the user fee is very important to be added to this bill.
We have Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter on the line as we look at a proposal to fund renovations at American Family Field and keep the Milwaukee Brewers playing at the stadium, and Senator Carpenter going to games. You can join in with your questions and comments along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. State Senator, the plan would have Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee pay $135 million for renovations. The state would chip in $411 million. Is this plan a fair split between local and state taxpayers?
I think I'm glad the local share for Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, and then Milwaukee County, that they're required fees to pay into it had gone down. I'm very appreciative of that. We're already paying $4 million a year for Fiserv Forum. for Milwaukee County. And so my big thing is I did not want to have property tax dollars used for the AmFam field. And so there was a creative way that the people in the assembly cobbled together some money that reduced that requirement. And I'm very appreciative of that. Otherwise, I think the bill wouldn't have been able to pass the state assembly if it didn't have that provision in it.
The Brewers would contribute $100 million and commit to playing at American Family Field until 2050. Are the Brewers, the organization, contributing enough to the stadium renovations, do you think?
Absolutely not. And I told that to Mike Duckett in person. They say they're giving $100 million towards it. Right now, they pay just over $1 million in rent to have the ballpark in great shape, the infield, things of that nature. And their rent increase is only going up a small amount. And then $50 million of that $100 million is going for projects the Brewers will be doing as a business themselves, and the taxpayers aren't going to benefit from that. For example, they have a Golf X experience at AmFam Field now, and the Brewers would pay for that out of their capital budget or the Liney Lodge. And so while they say they're giving $100 million, when you look at it under a microscope, it's very misleading. I think the Brewers and the business community ought to be coming up with another $100, $150 million since they are the ones that are going to profit off of it. Mark Antanasio bought the team and from Bud Selig, and he bought it for like $235 million. The value of the Brewers now is over $1.6 billion. So I love baseball. I know people want to go to the games, but I think it's very important that we make sure the taxpayers are protected. And if I one last thing, the Brewers lease was supposed to go through when we had the talks in 95. They were supposed to stay through the lease through 2030 with options to renew up to 2040. So this is 7 years in advance. I don't know what the exact hurry is from a taxpayer perspective. So I think we need to take our time to get this done correctly and also diminish the amount of money that taxpayers are going to have to help subsidize the Brewers. I think it's only fair. If we didn't give them that ballpark, they wouldn't be here now. So I think it's important for us to ask a little bit more from the business community and the Brewers.
State Senator, let's turn to a caller now. Chris in Milwaukee is here. Chris, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Well, I'm a fan of the arts, and I'm not a fan of the sports. And I think that the Brewers should be supported by the hard-suffering taxpayers of Los Angeles. If they want to go, I think they should go and let us have our money back. Thank you for listening.
Chris, thanks. And so we also have heard other opposition to this, State Senator. What have you heard from your constituents?
They are not happy. I had two town hall meetings last week, and I'm having more town hall meetings come. We've probably gotten about 400 surveys in the mail as we speak. As I mentioned, I'm opening up those surveys to look at. And before we vote on the bill, I should let people know that there will be a public hearing on the bill in the Government Operations Committee. And it'll be on Wednesday, October 25th in Madison in room 411 South, starting at 12:30. So if they'd like to contact their state legislator, tell them how they feel about the Brewers package, how it could be better, or stop by the hearing on October 25th at 12:30 to listen in person and get your own opinions and see what you think about the deal.
Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter represents a region of Milwaukee that includes American Family Field Stadium, where the Milwaukee Brewers play. As we discuss public funding for maintaining a baseball park for decades to come, share your views. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the Milwaukee Brewers aim to secure public funding for stadium repairs and upgrades and a $546 million package advances to the state Senate for consideration, call in with your question and comments at any point, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter, represents the region of Milwaukee that includes American Family Field. Let's take another call. Andrew in Palmyra. Andrew, hi.
Hi there. I'd just like to say that I support the congressman's approach to having the fields themselves and the different sports associations foot more of the bill for that, because it seems that at least dating back to the early 2000s and probably further back, that the general trend in government is to have a partnership between, big banking, big pharmaceutical companies, big sports associations, to have the profits of these ventures privatized and then any losses that occur socialized and put on the public. So I support having the ticket purchasers pay more of the fees for upkeep and maintenance on these facilities.
Andrew, thank you for the call. And just want to extend the question here. When you talk about the business community, who should pay more there? What do you mean by that, State Senator?
Well, I know there are a lot of, for example, the Milwaukee area Chamber of Commerce, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, they are in full support of this bill. In the past with the Braves, the business community, the Miller Company had helped a lot with the funding of the Milwaukee Braves. I just think before you ask the taxpayer to pay for something, which many of them will not even go to a game, that they need to come up with more money. Or Mark Antanasio, again, he bought the Brewers for $230 million, and now they're worth $1.6 billion. And to be honest with you, after these renovations are made, I can almost guarantee you the value of the Brewers in the next 3-4 years will go up another couple hundred million dollars, just because their business model says that they would have a place that they can make a lot of profits. So that's the concern. I want to be able to go in front of my constituents and explain to them how I voted and why I voted. And I feel unless this is moved forward about a user fee, having the state get a part of the increase in the valuation of the Milwaukee Brewers, I wouldn't be doing my job.
You advocated for a state-run audit and program evaluation of the Southeast Wisconsin Professional Baseball Park District that oversees American Family Field. What do you wish to find out through an audit?
I'm glad you brought that up, because when I voted for the original bill, I was told by the Secretary of Administration, Jim Clouser, and he said, we asked him, well, what happens if there's a overrun in the costs with the Brewer Stadium? He said there won't be. I asked him, what happens if the five-county sales tax isn't sunsetted in 2014? He said it would be. And, of course, we know both of them are wrong. There hasn't been a nonpartisan audit done by the Audit Bureau here in the Capitol. That's the gold standard. And they haven't done an audit since 2002. It seems kind of crazy to me that we're going to vote on a bill that deals with spending over $700 million on the current stadium, probably $1 billion when you put in the interest rates on it. And then we're going to ask for an audit. So I've been asking for years, since 2014, to have the expenditures at Miller Park and AmFam Field audited, so we know what the taxpayers are getting. For example, they're getting a brand new scoreboard. It's going to double in size. It's costing about $6 million, and fans will see that next year. But the issue I have is, do they really need that type of facility, that type of scoreboard? Are the Brewers making all the revenue off advertising from that? And there's a clause that needs to be tweaked that said the Brewers have a right to have amenities that are equal to 75% of all the other baseball teams in the league. Well, they're spending now $1.5 billion on baseball stadiums in like Los Angeles and other places. And Wisconsinites, Milwaukeeans can't afford to pay for 3D technology and some of these other things. To me, that's more of a luxury than something that would be basic. And the scoreboard is an example of that.
As you mentioned the scoreboard and you sit in those seats, what renovations do you think are needed at American Family Field?
Well, I think the inner workings of the scoreboard itself, I understand even LED lights wear out and other things. I can see that. Or they need new broadcasting equipment. I can see that. But for us to go ahead and double the size of the scoreboard, I don't think that's a high priority, especially if the Brewers, the scoreboard will last 10 years, something of that nature. But what happens if the Brewers move and we're putting all these investments into AmFam Field and then they don't like it? So it is kind of frustrating because, again, the contract doesn't end up till 2030. The Brewers are not going anywhere until after the 2030 season. And I feel kind of rushed into having to make this decision. And when you're rushed in to make a decision and they won't adopt an amendment on user fees or protecting the taxpayers, I'll be voting no. Somehow they have to make it a sweet enough deal. For example, last time in 1995, I asked that there be for the five counties a discount of every month so the people who paid into the sales tax for the five counties would be rewarded. And they've had that, and it's been very, very successful. And we also worked on language to say we had clawback provisions. If the Brewers did try and move, that the taxpayers would be protected. And when those things were added, I decided to vote yes. The Brewers are in much worse financial shape back then. But they're now, they're the smallest market in the league. I know they need help, but the question is, we have to give them strategic help and not just throw money at it.
Let's go to Mike in Milwaukee. Mike, you're on with Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter.
Hi, it's my understanding that the former County Brewers deal was the county would retain all the parking revenues, and those revenues were going directly to support Milwaukee County parks. When the Brewers were purchased and the new stadium came through, all that revenue was then directed to the Brewers, and the Milwaukee County parks have suffered ever since. Is that correct, Senator?
Yes. The land around County Stadium, and I've been to many games there too, when that land was turned over to build Miller Park, all of that land, the parking lots, are non-taxable, and the Brewers get all the parking revenue. So that's a big chunk of money that the Brewers get on land that's tax-exempt, and that doesn't allow the city, the county. It kind of makes it like a black hole where we could be getting money for, property taxes on some of the investments. And so, unfortunately, that's what had happened. And once the Brewers have the parking lots, as you've seen, they'll fight like heck not to do anything with them, even though some of them are mostly empty on a lot of the games where that area could be developed.
Carrying on with the parking lots here, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson supports renovating parking there to open a beer district to support tailgaters. Should state tax dollars help pay for establishing a beer district near the stadium?
I think that would be a great option. I believe in the bill, it has a call for a study. So that would be looked at. And also Komatsu, the plant over on National Avenue and Miller Parkway, there's that whole chunk of land that it could be available. We'd have to remediate the soil, do some other things. There's the Johnson Cookie Company building that condos could be there. There are a lot of great improvements that would add things onto the tax base. And I have to just point out, it was Bud Selig was the one that refused to have a baseball stadium in downtown Milwaukee because he wanted his little area where he could generate revenue for his team. And so we're kind of stuck with that situation.
Very quickly here, Governor Evers has signaled support for the stadium renovations plan if passed by the legislature. How soon could the state Senate vote on a plan?
I think the Republican leadership is talking about having it voted on sometime in November. But we're all going to have to take a look at the bill more closely. Again, I think we have to audit the audit before we spend any more money.
State Senator Carpenter, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. You have a great weekend now.
You too. Tim Carpenter is a Democratic state senator representing parts of Milwaukee, West Allis, Greenfield, the village of West Milwaukee, and the district includes American Family Field, where the Brewers play. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As part of ongoing coverage of homelessness in Wisconsin, we hear from the state's housing authority on efforts to increase affordable housing options, and we explore the view of property developers on workforce housing. You can be part of this discussion along the way. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brad Boykes is executive director of the Wisconsin Builders Association, representing 4,000 members in the home building industry. Brad, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And Elmer Moore Jr. is CEO and executive director of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. Elmer, welcome.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be here.
Yes, Elmer, let's start with you. The new state budget includes $525 million for affordable housing developments. How does this funding aim to support people experiencing housing insecurity?
Thank you for asking about that. We are really elated to have the resources in the amount of $525 million, an unprecedented investment in housing. This was the result of bipartisan effort to recognize the crisis that is we're experiencing across the state as it relates to housing, and particularly affordable housing. I want to make sure that we're clear that the issue of homelessness is a bit more complex than just a housing crisis, but we expect to support the construction of many new units through a multitude of bills, including the Main Street housing bill, which will allow the conversion of second and third floor vacant spaces into new housing units. Commercial to conversion, which will allow us to support the redevelopment of former commercial sites into housing, and our infrastructure support. There are communities across the state who are excited to welcome development, but the developers are unwilling to take on the cost burden of laying water pipes and other important infrastructure elements without significant support from WIDA, from the municipalities, and so on. And so we expect, as we can affect the housing supply, it will obviously have an impact on those experiencing homelessness.
Yes, how is the housing crisis that Wisconsin is experiencing, how is it more complex when you factor in homelessness?
Thank you for really shedding a light on this issue. So, you know, we have started talking about the housing crisis as an everything problem. A lack of affordable housing has consequences that can be measured in health outcomes, in educational outcomes, and certainly in workforce outcomes. And similarly, homelessness is an issue of not just having enough supply in housing stock, but it's an issue of inadequate access to education, workforce development. It's often a health issue. People are falling into homelessness, experiencing homelessness because of health concerns, because of the inability to pay for their health bills. They are often unable to access family supporting jobs because they are forced to make terrible decisions between working or childcare. And I'm so excited to remind everyone that the governor made an incredible investment to support childcare in the state of $170 million, because inadequate access to childcare can result in homelessness. Mm-hmm. People are making hard decisions about where to spend their limited dollars. And unfortunately, sometimes that results in insufficient amounts to support rent or a mortgage, and people are losing their homes. So it's a multifaceted problem that requires collaboration and coordination across a multitude of stakeholders. And that is obviously the state in the form of its agencies, that's partnerships with nonprofits that are supporting the development of workforce, the childcare system, and obviously builders and developers who are actually building the units in which people can reside.
And that is a proper segue there. Brad Boyx at the Wisconsin Builders Association. This summer, state lawmakers passed several measures to increase the supply of workforce housing in our state. How do you feel about the steps that are being taken by lawmakers to address housing?
Yeah, thank you. Great question. You know, this, Mr. Moore had mentioned, I mean, this effort was really, you know, a very impressive effort, took a lot of time. The housing chairs of both the Senate and the Assembly, Representative Brooks, Senator Quinn, you know, we had ourselves at the table, the realtors, the League of Municipalities, the Counties Association, the Towns Association, and we worked hand in hand with WEDA. You know, this was about, you know, almost a year and a half, even before these bills were introduced, kind of working out all of the details. So it was really a collaborative effort. You know, it was, we've seen in the last few sessions, it doesn't matter what lawmaker we go to talk to. You could have the most conservative or the most liberal, housing has risen up where you might, you know, we'd be obviously talking about it, but we didn't necessarily have as many members of the legislature having it be the first thing that we talk about when we go into meet. But that's, we could tell that there is, you know, certainly a crisis here. So it was really a great effort to work on all of these different bills over the summer, and bipartisan votes in both houses. Governor signed them into law, and then to have the, you know, significant investment by the Joint Finance Committee. It's really been a pleasure to work on these. And we believe, you know, all of the bills touch on different areas. You know, it's interesting, Mr. Moore mentioned, you know, those bills. You know, the one that we think is going to be the most valuable is the loan program for infrastructure. When we talk to our members throughout the state, the one thing that is a constant is the development process is obviously expensive. That infrastructure is expensive. And it's, you know, regardless if you're building in a rural area or a suburb, those fixed costs, you know, reign regardless of where you're developing. So we believe that that's going to be a significant investment and hopefully make the difference on the margins where, you know, a workforce housing development may not pencil out for a developer, but with this new loan program, that might make that something that they can move forward with and increase the housing supply. And that's obviously been a huge priority of the Wisconsin Builders Association over the past several years, just to increase, you know, workforce housing, apartments, you know, really raising and building more houses, really of all levels, is going to be good for people at all levels, because we have, you know, we don't have a big churn of housing anymore unfortunately, with interest rates. So we really, you know, one of the ways that we can see an immediate difference is to, you know, simply build more housing. And we believe that these initiatives will do just that.
Brad, when you shine a light there on infrastructure and making the land ready to develop, to put up housing, which costs associated with building homes affect property developers the most as they try to pencil out these jobs, these projects?
Yeah, excellent question. You know, I think one thing, and I don't know that it's widely known when people are looking at housing, but you know, the developer, when they go in to take either redevelop infill projects or when they go to develop raw land, you know, the infrastructure, that would be the sidewalks, you know, the pipes underground, the streets, you know, all of those things are paid for by the developer. And then they're dedicated over to the municipality after completion of the project. Then the municipality takes possession of those and then maintains it. But all of those upfront costs are, you know, those, that cost falls on the balance sheet of the developer. And then obviously that goes into the final price of the home. So if you can take some of that and what these loans are, you know, specifically the infrastructure loan, you know, getting that, a portion of that development cost at 0%, would, you know, again, that might make the difference in making some of these developments pencil out. You know, and the one thing that's interesting about all of these bills, they all have kind of the similar process and similar requirements where a developer works with a municipality hand in hand, and then the developer goes to WIDA to try to get any of these loans. And the municipalities are basically, and this is something that Mr. Moore and his team are working very hard on, and we're trying to work collaboratively with them, you know, any municipality that wants to get access or developer wants to get access to these loans are going to be scored higher if they're showing, you know, ways that they're working within their community to bring down the cost of housing. And that could be a laundry list of things, you know, narrower sidewalks, narrower streets. You know, the one big thing is providing or allowing for more density. Allowing for greater density brings down the cost. You know, smaller lots with smaller homes are obviously going to be cheaper than bigger homes on bigger lots. So that's something that we're working through. And we're also working with, you know, the league and our partners on that piece as well to try to, you know, better educate. I mean, this whole process, we've been working, all those groups have been working together. We're continuing to do that. As these loan programs get ready, you know, to be pushed out and actually have developers look and apply for those. So that's kind of the, you know, the backstory on that development cost.
Brad Boyx leads the Wisconsin Builders Association. We also have Elmer Moore Jr. oversees the state's Housing and Economic Development Authority that also goes by the acronym WIDA. As we look at efforts to improve housing stability across our state, you can join in at any point with your questions and comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Elmer, last week on our show, we spoke with Michael Bassford, director of the Interagency Council on Homelessness, and Bassford talked about the need for more funding of housing developments in the state.
It requires a substantial investment that cannot be denied. We have learned in the past that it is actually less expensive for communities to put people into housing rather than to keep them on the streets experiencing homelessness.
Do you support that, that funding more housing developments is less expensive than the cost associated with people living on the streets?
So I want to be careful to not get too far over my skis and describe the impact to entities that aren't my own, where I don't have full transparency of their budgets. But just as a citizen, that absolutely pencils out to me. When I think about, again, the relationship between housing or a lack thereof, and its impacts on health, education, the justice system, it absolutely makes sense to me. If you look at, for instance, the cost of housing and supporting someone who is incarcerated, we are exceeding the cost. Incarceration exceeds the cost of housing development on a per person basis. So absolutely, we need to double, triple down our investment in housing. You know, one of the things that we're advocating for is an expansion of our state tax credit program. Currently, we are administering a $42 million tax credit program at the state level, and we would love to see it expanded to 100 or beyond. And it's those kinds of legislative changes that we're asking for the public to support. We're asking the public to recognize the individual cost of insufficient housing and not supporting those who are experiencing homelessness on individual citizens. Mm-hmm. And it's through very small investments at the collective level, we can have extraordinary impact at the state level.
Elmer Moore Jr., their executive director and CEO of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, part of Governor Tony Evers' cabinet. Brad Boyx with us as well, leads the Wisconsin Builders Association trade group. You can be part of this housing discussion. Call in with a question. Share your views. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine how to expand affordable housing across Wisconsin communities and efforts to help reduce housing insecurity. We have Elmer Moore Jr., Executive Director and CEO of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. Brad Boykes is here, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Builders Association. We heard from Allison in La Crosse called in, and Allison would like to pose the question to both of you, wondering, why couldn't we look to all the abandoned malls in every town, and why can't they be adapted into housing? Brad, you first.
Great question. And that was one of the things that when we started down this path, I don't know that it was necessarily on our radar screen, but we quickly, the whole collective, we, all of the groups that I had discussed earlier, thought that this was a good idea and something that absolutely needed to be addressed. So one of those bills, actually Act 18, has funds from WIDA to do just that. The Commercial to Housing Conversion Revolving Loan Fund, which was funded at $100 million through the state budget and signed into law by Governor Evers, does just that. It basically gives grants or loans, I should say loans, to either convert or demolish those commercial spaces. You know, sometimes I think depending on the building's age, you know, and what you're going to look to do with it, remodeling is certainly an option. I think in other instances, obviously, it's going to be more likely maybe to demolish those and start over. But, you know, that is an excellent point, that is one thing. And another bill that was passed there, you know, the conversion of second and third floor space above downtown commercial. Again, that was not an issue necessarily that we first started talking about, but it makes sense. And you can kind of see when we talk to various groups and legislators about that bill, about that provision, you can kind of see them thinking of going through their districts and areas where there's, you know, vacant, you know, at one point probably was used for multifamily, but is no longer and could use obviously some renovations. And that, you know, that's going to be good too. That puts people close to downtown, you know, people that may work downtown would have an opportunity to rent in that converted space. So I think the legislature and the governor did a great job of addressing that and passing those provisions to fund that type of program.
Elmer, what comes up for you as you look toward the commercial to housing conversion loans and that program?
So I think it's worth mentioning we have officially named that program Vacancy to Vitality. And in that name, we are really describing what we believe the opportunity is there. Again, the governor was able to fund that program at $100 million. We believe it can have really phenomenal impact across the state. Brad, it's worth me saying, we are so grateful for the partnership and collaboration that you've demonstrated and offered throughout this process. We've got a lot of work to do, and we are just at the beginning. I'm really grateful for Allison's questions because while Brad answered brilliantly about the immediate program that we're using to address this, I think it's worth adding a little bit of context. One of the challenges for affordable housing and for folks experiencing homelessness is that we forget who we're really talking about. Affordable housing has an unfortunate stigma. If you look at the numbers and who we are able to serve using our existing portfolio of products and legislative responsibilities, we're talking about people up to 140% of the AMI, which really means people that are making 1.4 times the median income for their community. That's not a so-called them. That's not a collection of folks who are unable to get jobs because of some other infraction. We're talking about folks that have great jobs, teachers and our public servants. We're talking about the folks that really make life comfortable and livable for the rest of us. And as it relates to people experiencing homelessness, I want to remind everyone that we're not limiting that to the people who are unfortunately unsheltered and potentially sleeping on the street. We're talking about folks that are experiencing homelessness who might be staying on a friend's or family member's sofa or sleeping on their floor. And so when we expand our understanding of the folks that need support as it relates to housing and affordable housing, so many people. It's the folks that we work with, the folks that we eat and enjoy. It's the folks that we love. It's our family members and friends.
Elmer, I'm sorry to jump in. I just want to thank you for that. Thank you for that clarity. I do want to bring in Greg in Milwaukee. Greg, go ahead.
What's your view on capping industrial toxic waste sites and building on top of them with a venting system through the building? There are big problems at community in the corridor in Milwaukee.
Greg, thank you. Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not terribly familiar, unfortunately, with that process. You know, I would say any efforts to do infill projects and redevelop land, as long as it's going to be safe and remediated, you know, that's certainly, you know, something I think as an option. You know, when we look at infill projects, those have been very popular over the last few years. There's a number of them in really different populated communities throughout the state. And that's something that, you know, we certainly think is part of the mix as far as providing additional housing for Wisconsin families.
Elmer, your thoughts there on remediation and the sites that have been formerly industrial?
Yeah, it's really disappointing when ever there's an incident in which families are put in serious health and safety risk. We don't condone it. However, we understand that there's places across Wisconsin, and particularly in Milwaukee, that are formerly industrial sites that we would like to believe could be an effective opportunity to expand housing. To do that safely requires collaboration between a multitude of agencies and stakeholders, the city, the municipalities, the Department of Natural Resources, and so on and so on. I think it can be done effectively, but it requires extreme attention to detail. And I want to make clear that at WEDA, we bias for people. And so what matters more to us is that people and families are safe. So we want to make sure that we support activities that do that.
Well, thank you both for touching on such a multifaceted issue. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Elmer Moore Jr. is Executive Director and CEO of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. Brad Boykes is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Home Builders Association, representing the industry. Here on The Morning Show, we're producing a range of conversations about homelessness and housing insecurity. And you can find links to recent segments in this ongoing coverage. And you can also share all of your program ideas you have on housing. Bring them to the table. Connect with us at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.